I wonder if you could stand to look with me again in the book of Numbers. And this time, chapter 19. Chapter 19 and verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. You shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger, and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin, and her flesh, and her blood, and her dung shall he burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood, and hyssop, and scarlet, and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the even. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the even. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, and lay them up without the camp in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is a purification for sins. And he that gathereth the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even, and it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you for a statute forever. Now would you look please again into the 9th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the more, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now I have wanted for quite a while to know a little more about this very special ordinance that we have coming up in our studies in the book of Numbers. Now we have been told by Bible scholars that it is one of the most important sacrifices, one of the most important ordinances that we have in the whole Word of God. It is sometimes neglected. We neglect to read about it. We neglect to think about it. We neglect to study it. But we trust that in just a simple way tonight, we might be able to look at it together and see what we can learn from this very precious ordinance of the offering of the red heifer. Now, God speaks in different positions to his people. In the book of Exodus, God speaks from the mount where he gave the tables of stone written with the finger of God and that Moses brought down from the mount. God to the children of Israel spoke first of all from the blackness and darkness and the fire of that mountain. Then, in the book of Leviticus, God speaks from the mercy seat inside the Holy of Holies. And there, you have a message from God right from off the blood-stained mercy seat. And of course, the message is that there is forgiveness for the sinner through the precious blood, atoning blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now today, God speaks to us from a different location. Not the mount, not the tabernacle, but from heaven itself. Now in this connection, I want you to listen while I read just a few verses from Hebrews chapter 12. He says, "For you are come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire. You are not come to that mount, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." I don't know whether you realize it or not, but the language in the epistle to the Hebrews is just majestic. And we must thrill every time that we read these wonderful passages that, of course, we believe were written by the apostle. Now, the book of Leviticus gives a detailed account of the doctrine of sacrifice. All the way from chapter 1, with a burnt offering, and all the way through to the trespass offering, God lays down in definite terms and definite words how the people should approach him. And it was definitely made known to the people that it would be by the way of sacrifice, by the shedding of the blood of another. The Word of God says that almost all things are purged by blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Now, with these thoughts in our minds, we should approach this subject. And we should know that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. And that the sacrifices of the Old Testament were but a figure, but a shadow of the sacrifice of Christ which would be made there at the place called Calvary. Now I wonder why, or we have wondered why many times. In the whole book of Leviticus, there is no mention of the sacrifice of the red heifer. Only in the book of Numbers is it mentioned. But now the writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews mentions it very definitely. He says, as we read, for it, the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now we are looking tonight at an important sacrifice that was ordained by God and appears in the book of Numbers and is a wilderness scene again. And you know, you and I, as we travel through this world, I suppose, comfortably enough, as far as the spiritual aspect of this world is concerned, it's a wilderness. I listened this morning to Dr. Bruce Dunn as he spoke of some of the things that are creeping into the churches today. And it's diabolical. And oh, how we need to get back to the Word of God as he was stressing, and to read it, and to study it, and to do what it says, so that our lives indeed might be profitable to God. Now this sacrifice was in the spiritual sense a provision for the defilements of the way. Now the Israelites were traveling in the way. It was a rugged way. It was a way that was made rugged because of their unbelief. They brought it all upon themselves, as we saw in chapters back some time ago. And we learned this morning how the flesh is absolutely impossible, and that only the grace of God can avail, and the saving grace of God can come in and avail for the sinner that's constantly at enmity with God. Now, Jewish tradition has it that 7 times since the time of Moses until the present day was this sacrifice of the red heifer made. And they say that as the Word of God says, it was for a perpetual ordinance that some of the ashes were saved from the first sacrifice and added to the second and the third, right on to the seventh, so that in the last sacrifice there was contained a portion of the ashes of the heifer that was once sacrificed in Moses' day. This is Jewish tradition. We don't have it in the Word of God. What we want to bring out tonight is the beauties and the wonders of this sacrifice. Jewish tradition also says that one day, just as they found the Dead Sea Scroll, so they will find that kallal that holds the ashes of the heifer. Well, that's as it may be. Wonderful thought, it just might be. But the Lord knows. But now we look at the spiritual aspect of this. Hebrews chapter 9 tells us that our great high priest is so much greater than Aaron. And the sacrifice that he made once at the place called Calvary can avail once and for all for the putting away of sin. These sacrifices had to be continually made. But the sacrifice of Christ was made once, and he entered in by his own blood, and the Lord Jesus Christ obtained eternal redemption for us. Now the Word of God says that they had to take a red heifer. It hadn't to have anything at all on it but red. No white hairs whatever, no spot, no blemish. It had to be a red heifer. And you know, very seldom in the Word of God is a female sacrifice offered. And this is very important. Because now we are thinking of our journey through the wilderness. We are thinking of our journey heavenward and homeward. Now it's a female sacrifice. And our eyes are upon the bridegroom who's coming one day to take his bride and rapture his church to be forever with him. The female sacrifice speaks in some way of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for his bride. And we have to think about it like that. They had to take this red heifer. It had no spot on it. It had no blemish in it, and it had no yoke ever been laid upon its neck. Now these were specific instructions that had to be followed out in the minutest detail. But oh, how precious this is now when you see it as it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, to that great sacrifice of which it was just a type. Our Lord Jesus Christ was without spot. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sin. And just as the Israelite had to choose this spotless animal and offer it for sacrifice, so our blessed Lord, when he came from heaven to this earth, they beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In him there was no spot. He was a perfect sacrifice. This was his outward perfection that was manifested to all. They wondered at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They could find no fault in him. Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man," because there was no fault to find. His outward perfection. But now there was no blemish in the animal. Had to be no blemish. That was his inward perfection. Only heaven saw that. Only the all-seeing eye of a righteous God could see within. And while God sees within my heart, he sees nothing but blemish when he looks at my heart. But as he looks at Christ, who offered himself without spot or blemish, blessed be his name, he sees no blemish at all within. And then this heifer never have had to wear a yoke. Never had had to have a yoke upon it. If it had, it was not fit for the sacrifice. Now a yoke is used to restrain the wild character of an animal and bring it into subjection so that it will work side by side with another. It isn't natural for an animal to wear a yoke. They chafe against it. They fight against it, but then they become used to it. No yoke upon the animal's neck. And listen, the Lord Jesus Christ had no yoke of sin upon him whatsoever. He was apart from that. No yoke upon him. He said in the Gospel of Matthew, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. That was the yoke that he wore. That was the yoke of perfect subjection to his Father's will. No spot, no blemish, no yoke had to be found on the red heifer. What a beautiful picture it is of the Savior in everything that he said, in everything that he did. Our blessed Lord Jesus Christ was perfect in every way to do the Father's will. My meat, he said, is to do the Father's will and finish the work he gave me to do. Now, someone had to give this heifer into the hand of Eleazar the priest. And contrary to the normal way of sacrifice, it had to be taken outside the camp. And the scripture says one, that is someone other than the priest, should slay it before his face. Now, this is really beautiful. If you see the spiritual application of this. The Lord Jesus Christ was led out of the Damascus gate and on the way to the hill of Golgotha. Outside the city, he suffered without the gate. And this sacrifice had to be taken, and it was not an act of priestly ministry, because Eleazar the priest didn't have anything to do with the slaying of the animal that he would have had in the normal way. But someone else slew that animal before his face, outside the camp. It is a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ as a victim. As they took his life, as they nailed him to the cross, he became the victim when they nailed him there at the place called Calvary, outside the city wall. The old hymn writer wrote, there is a green hill far away without a city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. Now I know when it came to the end of the sixth hour, our Lord Jesus Christ dismissed his spirit. But when he was taken outside the city, he became the victim when he gave himself for us. The Hebrew writer says, in order that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, he suffered without the gate. He says, let us go to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Now, you see that the sacrifice wasn't sacrificed on the altar. It was taken outside the camp, and it was sacrificed there by someone else. There we have the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ without the city wall, dying upon the place called Calvary. Our blessed Savior became the great antitype of this beautiful type in the Word of God. Now, Eleazar takes the blood with his finger, and he goes into the tabernacle, and he sprinkles that blood 7 times before the tabernacle. Now, the priest is not on the outside, he's on the inside. And now he is performing his priestly work. before the tabernacle of the congregation. 7 times is that blood sprinkled before the tabernacle of the congregation to indicate that it was a perfect blood sacrifice offered to God in all its perfection. Now the priest was inside. And oh, listen to the word of the Hebrew writer again in chapter 10. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And now, the Lord Jesus Christ is not the victim now. He has been the victim. But now he's the priest. Now he's the great high priest in the presence of God for us. That is signified by the sprinkling of the blood 7 times before the tabernacle. What a perfect picture we have of the wonderful ministry of our great high priest as he there with a finished work takes his seat, the right hand of the majesty on high, and he's there in the heavens for us as our great high priest. What a fortunate people we are. Now then, the heifer is burnt. Every bit of it is burnt to ashes outside the camp. When you look at the blood, we see our past sin being dealt with, the place called Calvary. But when we look at the ashes, we see our present defilement. And how that yonder at God's right hand there's a high priest that is taking care of our defilement as we walk through this world, through this wilderness, heavenward and homeward. John writes, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This whole ordinance of the red heifer was given because we need to know the ministry of our great high priest, and we need it as we travel through this wilderness sea. I trust that you can see this very plainly from the pages of Holy Scripture. Maybe I can't make it as clear as I ought to make it, but the Spirit of God can make it clear in our lives. Now, as the heifer was burning with the wood of the sacrifice, they took cedar wood, and they took hyssop, and they took scarlet, and they cast it into the midst of the burning. Now, this is very precious, and we shouldn't miss it. Cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet. Now, in the Word of God, it says that Solomon spoke of trees, from the cedars of Lebanon to the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. This is the whole range of nature, as we have it mentioned there. The whole range of nature that we see in the hyssop and the cedar as it was thrown in to the burning of the red heifer. But there was the scarlet. And it has been thought that the scarlet represented the glories and the pomp of this world and its whole system. And it was thrown into the fire and consumed with the sacrifice. There you have the whole range of nature. You have the whole world system as it was cast into the fire. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Here's the truth of that burning. The Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. There it all goes, into the burning of the red heifer, the cedarwood, the hyssop, and the scarlet, representing everything that the world could give. It's thrown into the fire. And what do I have left? I have the blessed truth of the wonderful sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ before my eyes. And my thoughts are taken from the world as they travel through this wilderness, and they are centered upon the man in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. And then there was a man sent to gather the ashes and to put it in a clean place. And the man had to be a clean man. Now the ashes of the heifer were used just to sprinkle of them in water. And they were used for cleansing. They were used for purification. It was the water of separation. We have to know, don't we, that when we serve the Lord, in no matter what capacity, in the spiritual sense, we need to be clean. We need the cleansing of the Word of God day by day as we travel heavenward and homeward. The scripture says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to the word of God. And you and I would speak to my own heart tonight. I'd say, wherewithal shall an old man cleanse his way? Not only a young man. By taking heed to these things, and by taking heed to the word of God, and by taking heed to what it tells us, particularly in this wonderful ordinance that we have before us tonight. I trust that we might think about these things. I trust that as they have been precious to my heart, as I've studied them, they might be precious to yours, and that we might be better servants for our Lord. Seek to live lives that are clean before him, keeping our eye upon the one that is in heaven for us, our great high priest. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, we have a wrap-up of this. And it says that Christ gave himself to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now we have been saved by matchless grace. We have been taken into the family of God, and we often sing, I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. But God put us in that family, not to just take it easy and sit with the family, but to be working with the family and to be zealous of good works for the Lord. Let us think about this in future days. And I say these things to my own heart very definitely, first of all. And we trust that these few remarks from this very, very precious portion of the Word of God might be precious to each one of our hearts. Shall we sing a couple of verses of a hymn? It speaks of the peace that we can have in our hearts by knowing the truth of these things. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial-like strains, it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul. So secure that no power can mine it away while the years of eternity roll. Just the first two verses of